Okay, this is a session with Nelson, recorded on June 2nd, copyright 2011, New Grand View Incorporated. All rights reserved, and we're starting at 1:22 p.m. Hawaii time. Greetings, Zion.
Good evening.
Hi, Ion. How's everything going?
Oh, bubbly, thanks.
Oh, well, it's been an interesting week. I spent some time on looking up the sine wave graphing and all that stuff, and I still don't know if I'm quite doing it correctly, graphing the waves correctly. So I don't really know where to go from here.
Okay, how are your numbers coming out with what you are doing?
Well, a lot of the times that I've got to clarify how to do the rest of it, in, so I can go through. So what I'd like to do is I just want to continue the equation that we were doing the last time, continue through it, and we'll see how the numbers are coming out, because there's another step.
That's fine.
And then I can know for sure that where that the problems lie. And that's pretty much it. So the last session we ended on the actual graphing the waves, which so I started again and I redid the I did a second triangle over the week, and all of my trig and everything like that is coming up exactly the same, which is fantastic. So I'm doing that part of it correctly.
Good.
But now I just need to figure out the rest of it. Well, not figure out, just get through and make sure what I'm doing is correct.
Well, okay. Now you have your visual, you have your picture, you know the process, you're just trying to make it match. And if it works, and if you get it to matching and working, then you know taking something posthumously or historically and see exactly where it falls, then you sort of know, you see.
Yeah.
I mean, J.W. plays with the Dow Jones a bit, and he was pleasantly delighted for the 273-point drop the other day.
Yeah, I know. It dropped a lot. Am I overcomplicating this?
Yes, you are.
I am, right?
Yes, easy as moving your bowels, baby.
So how do I absorb it and make it and approach it and it becomes easier?
Make it ethereal. All right. Now Bob would say, don't give it any attention. Let it flow. Let it find you. Let it work out. And you know where you are, okay? You know where your plotting is. You even have a very grasping understanding of how your GPS works on your damn telephone, do you not?
Yeah. Yeah.
You even get the science behind the frivolity of the application of time.
Yeah.
It'll even gauge and tell you how many minutes it'll take you to get to your destination. And the fastest and the shortest and the easiest route. You see?
So
you have no trouble with code and applying code. Now, here's in essence what's happening. You plug it in an address in your telephone to go to the coffee house, and it's taking you to the grocery store. And you're like, what the fuck? I put in the coffee shop. And it's taking me to the grocery store, okay? And if you notice, if they sell coffee in the grocery store, you may be solved in the issue, not an issue. But you don't know that until you come to a place to calculate if it's where you are arriving to is equal to the debenture that you've issued or engaged the triangulation regarding. So let's simplify it, okay? You get the picture, you get the triangle, you get geometry, okay?
Yeah.
You're not having any trouble with the trig. That's plotting waves, frequency, wavelengths. Now, that has frequency has absolutely nothing to do with time. The only application of frequency that affects this equation at all is that you're taking a frequency and plotting it on a flat plane. Mm-hmm. When you do that, then you can gauge the specific area between the two tangents. Well, with your very healthy knowing of geometry, you know that the wavelength goes beyond those tangents, but the only points you're interested in is the one between those two tangents that are represented, that you chose and you divided, representing a relegated position called time.
Mm-hmm.
See, so that's why we spend a great deal of energy getting it the visual for you. So when you got to this place, you could see the sighted aspect of adjustment.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Okay. Now, now, I guess take it from where you are, and let's sort of go from there.
Okay, great. Well, where I'm at right now is I've got my triangle laid out, my tangent plotted, like my B1A1 is marked on top of the triangle, and I am now need to use the angles that I found using the trig and plot my waves.
Okay, good.
And
so what about
the
C?
Pardon?
What about C? You said you plotted A and B, and we say, what about C?
Oh, and I've plotted C. Like, I've found all the three angles, but now do I also, in the way I have it stepped out, the steps that I have are, like, I've established my B1A1 tangent, and now I have to go sine A cos A, sine B cos B, and then plot all intersection points between the AB and B1A1 tangent.
Well, you actually also have to plot the points, plot the waves, so you can get your peak and trough to gauge the intersection points.
Now, for example, when JW does this, does he do it all on paper?
No.
Okay, it's acceptable to be using a calculator to plot the actual waves, not plot the waves, but to...
He doesn't.
He doesn't, okay. Because there's a couple, like, right now I've got my triangle laid out over 10 blocks, and then I've got my tangent at 7 blocks, okay?
Fine.
And the wave...
Well, that's just because you plotted it. That's where the value's plotted.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
But, for example, the largest number, what's going to determine how wide the triangle is the C number. And
not necessarily.
Well, like,
you could have an A value of 10,000 and a C value of 2.
Oh, no, I know. I mean, how far to the right on the graph it is. It's that.
Well, that's just because you're doing it from an now you're getting into aspect and ratios. Okay.
Okay,
and we've talked about that a little bit. Aspect and ratio, whatever C turns out to be, you can adjust the ratio to give you more blocks and spaces. So, see, it makes no difference. As long as whatever ratio shift you do it to every angle, no problem, because you're pulling it into a quadrant. This is going to help you. You know when you're pulling a sine and a cosine wave?
Mm-hmm.
If you get what you're doing, remember the Christmas paper tube?
Yep.
And remember if you spun it through a period of time and it went around that circle, that's dimensional, correct?
Okay. Yeah.
Now, you also have a graph. All right. Now, if you look at that piece of paper and you have an X and a Y, that means your square in the middle that you would plot these points regarding, correct?
Yes.
Okay. If those points were in quadrants and you had a tube the size of A and C, with X, Y, 0, X and Y being 0 would be the center of that tube. Would that help you visually, Nelson, to see what the hell you're really doing?
Oh, okay. So basically the sine wave, well, in that sense, if that was the tube, so the tube would be from the distance from C to A vertically.
Well, that's sort of the point of your AC line segment, remember, because that's the coefficient of why you're plotting A2 in the new A2, B2, well, A1, B1, C1 triangle. Remember the little bitty
okay.
one that you're creating? If that helps you see it that way, that may conquer this complexity that you've added to it. And you're all over it. We say you're doing it, but you say your numbers aren't working. So, if you
oh no,
you
I
might...
haven't gotten to the point where the numbers. I don't know if the numbers are working or not.
Okay. Okay.
I just have,
then
I just have. I don't know if they are or not.
Good. Okay. Then
I just
want to
make sure
is...
what I'm doing with the waves is right before
well,
I start.
You're the clothes are put in the washing machine. Detergent's been put in. You've turned it on. It's spun. Okay, the only thing left is put in the dryer and dry the clothes. Well, instead of drying the clothes, you're running them through the spin cycle again.
Okay.
You're spinning.
Okay, so I don't need to be spinning is what you're saying.
Right.
So
well,
I
you
just
can
walk...
if you want to. It's perfectly all right with us, but you're trying to get to a position where this works.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and
so
it's all right. But see, there's a bit of hesitancy of... if this is so cool, this will change my life. And so sometimes it's very easy to slow it down to the point till you catch up with it.
I see what, yeah. I think that may be a bit of it.
Now,
like, I definitely feel that way.
We know. And hey, guess what, Nelson? Guess what that's representative of?
What?
A frequency.
Hmm.
You see, that's a frequency.
Will the height of my waves, will the height of my sine waves and cos waves be the distance from the x-axis and A? Like, basically, will the height of my waves be the number of A?
A would be the from A between the two tangents, the top of the box, A would be the middle of that sine cosine wave.
Okay, let's say that again.
A would be parallel to wait a minute. You're all right. You're all right.
Okay.
A, the line A that connects the two tangents, will be parallel to your x axis. That dotted line, remember we talk about the top of the box? That dotted line will be the absolute middle point of your peak and trough sine and cosine wave segment between the two tangents. Does that help?
Okay. Yeah. I right now, I just want, like, is what's in front of me the right perspective of what we're talking about?
Well, if you're sure with your ratio perspective, you should have a triangle. You should have a box with a dotted imaginary line from your two tangents, from A straight across and from B straight across. Okay? The little dot,
oh,
dot,
let's,
dot,
let's,
dot.
Let's talk about that. Let's just say that again. Okay, where is this box that you're talking about?
Okay. You have tangent AB, correct?
Yes.
AB goes as high as your piece of paper and as low as your piece of paper, correct?
No. Right now,
well,
AB.
It's Y.
Oh, Y. Yes, yes, correct.
So that tangent includes every price that is.
Yes.
So that line would go as high as high and as low as low.
Yes,
now,
that's what it does.
Granted, AB line segment is inclusive of the AB tangent, but the AB tangent includes every price. If it has a price, it's inclusive from that tangent.
Yes, okay.
Okay. Now you're setting a second tangent.
Yes.
which would be what you're calling future, but it may be past and then almost up to now to prove your point.
Yes.
No problem, but we're talking about a period. Okay? What you're now doing is you're now setting a new Y tangent.
Okay.
Or A1B1 tangent.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. A tangent.
So now, in that future price, let's say if you did it from today, if you're doing the triangulation from today, and then you're doing a future, then every price that has a price for the A to B two tangent, which is your tangent.
Yep.
Correct. Every price would be included in that second tangent. Correct?
Yes, it is infinitely, it's a new Y, it's infinitely.
All right, so that's your new Y. But now in the setting of that new tangent, you've also created yet another triangle.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So now you're
right,
applying,
right of
now, okay, so now you have those two lines, those two tangents, they would be parallel, would they not?
Yes.
Every single time without fail or exception, would they not?
Yes, they would.
All right. So now, you take a right angle.
Yep.
And from your A point, you draw a dotted line parallel to your x-axis beginning at the A plotted point and go dot, 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 dot over to your A2, B2 tangent.
Okay, got that.
All right, now that would be representative of the top of a box.
Yes.
So you got two sides of the box. Now you go, that'd be the imitation top of the box. Then you go to B, and you right angle it parallel to X, and you dot, 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 dot it over to the B1, A2, B2 tangent as well. That would be the imitation representative of the bottom of a box.
Yes.
All right. Now, your sine cosine waves of A, that dotted line, of course, would be the absolute center of your circle that you're pulling your sine cosine wave from.
Oh, okay. So
now, sine is going to begin 1 minus 1. Cosine is going to begin minus 1, but that's not a problem because it's flowing within the same radian of that circular aspect or ratio.
So these, the sine waves pulled off of A actually follow a line that, actually, the center of the sine waves that are pulled off of A is the top of the box. It's
that's
axial,
right.
In a sense.
Yes.
Okay.
And that's
and
why
same
we said.
With B.
Right. And the same thing with B. And that's why we said it may help you if you looked at your graph paper and put a toilet paper roll on top of the X and Y and made where your original X, Y on your graph paper was the center of the toilet paper roll. You'd see that cylinder aspect.
Yes. And that's
C.
The same thing that's happening. Yes,
with
I use
A
basically
and B,
A
and then the same thing with C as well, just going in the opposite direction.
Okay, now with C, right now C hasn't shifted, right? Like the new position of A is the A2. The new position of B is the B2.
Uh-huh.
For C to shift,
and C2 won't shift.
Okay.
Remember, because now look, see, makes no difference how large or small you make your triangle or how many tangents you pull off of it. The angle of C, your original value of C, won't change. It'll be the same.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
See, and so that's why it works, or that's why it works every time, regardless if you pull 2 or 200 tangents. Because that C value, which is your minus cos minus sine minus cosine value, that angle is set.
Yes.
See, so if you can get that, that's your constant. Because otherwise, C, Nelson, what you'd bump into is you'd have too many variables. you'd have more variables than you could calculate.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, since that C is going to be constant, and the purpose or the position of that minus sine minus cosine of C is setting the new landscape or horizon of your new x-axis.
Mm-hmm.
And then all you're doing is justifying or plotting the value of A2 on the new y in respect to the new x. And therefore, it'll say the future price.
Okay. So that's why C can stay the same to keep the angles the same.
Exactly, because see, it makes no. Because if you get good with this, what you'll be doing is you'll be pulling a B4A4 tangent and seeing what it was historically.
So, in order to find the waves, in order to find the plot the sine wave, I use the angle of A.
Of course, otherwise you can't. It'll always be the same.
Okay, so the angle of A is the angle in between the angle between A and AC, AB and AC is the angle of A.
Exactly, that's right.
Okay.
And of course, you know, to be able to calculate that, you have to right justify all your angles and subtract your B value, obviously.
Yes.
Yeah, but that's just simple right justification, you see.
Yes, the trig stuff is working out. Now I just need to feel confident about how I'm overlaying the waves on the triangle.
Well, your theory is good. Now get you Peter wet. See how you're doing.
Okay. So
how else do you want to say that? You got the theory.
I agree with you.
Now get it wet and let's go.
I agree with you.
We want you fat. We want you fat, Nelson. You fat's the best thing that could happen to everything.
Thank you. I have to do sine A, cos A, and then I find the intersection of those two waves.
You plot those waves, exactly, and then you note the intersection points.
Okay. Now, when I plot those waves... let me just think about this. The only thing I'm focused on is the intersections.
Correct. Yes, in the peak
and
the trough.
Yes, so I can now, the intersection of these waves is 1.1521 and 0.7071 relative to that new not an X, but the top of the box. It's plotted along the top of the box.
Good. And you should have a row of peaks that would be north of your new A little ... line, and then you should have a row of intersection points just south of that ... A line. That would be representative of the peak and the trough of that sine, cosine wave of A.
Okay. So right now, when I do the sine cosine wave of A, the intersection point is above the dotted line.
Yes, and there should be one below.
Oh, there is one below, but it's beyond the tangent. Yeah, that's another thing that I wanted to ask you. Okay,
your period's off. Your trough intersection shouldn't be past your second tangent.
Okay. See, that's another. Yes, exactly. That's a question that I have relative to.
That's where you're letting you chip body think for you.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, that's a good way to put it. Because how many total waves, like how many peak trough should be within my
tangent? Depends on the frequency.
And the frequency is set by the angle?
Yes.
Okay, because for example,
you keep going, we're going to send you back to a slide rule. Remember slide rule?
Yep.
That's sort of ridiculous.
I don't remember them, but I've heard.
That's the olden school. But let's soften it for you just a little bit.
Okay.
You have a hula hoop, correct?
Yep.
And you take a marker, a chalk or a piece of marker, and you tape it to the one point on the hula hoop.
Yep.
And you take that hula hoop and put it up against the wall where the marker's on the wall. And you spin the hula hoop, that marker's going to make a down and a up and a down and a up and a down and up on that wall. That's plotting a wave.
Yes.
And then if you make it minus one from where you began and you spin it, then guess what? You're going to have, that'll be a cosine wave. And then in this, if you took the center of that hula hoop and made a straight line all the way down the wall, that would be your imitation A line. Remember the dot, dot, dot line?
Yes.
Okay. So then you look at the wall and you go, dot, it intersected, dot, it intersected, dot, it intersected. But on the length of the wall, which would be representative of your two tangents.
Okay. So how is the length of the wave? Basically, I don't know how to justify the amount the wave travels to the right onto my
then,
triangle.
Then you should look again at plotting a wave. Because the angle, see, if you took the toilet paper roll and laid it on its side,
yes,
that would be representative of the distance that the circular twirl would go up and down, and it's in a cone. See, it's in a cylinder. All right, but you're plotting it on a flat geometry representation. That's where this works, is you're taking something that's not one-dimensional and plotting it one-dimensionally.
Yeah, you're taking something that's actually two-dimensional.
Correct.
Three-dimensional.
Three-dimensional, that's right.
Yeah.
And if you got the paper tape, if you got the paper toilet paper cylinder, and laid it down and looked at it, that may help you get a hold. But now there's all kinds of boob tube things and blah 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 blah. But if that ain't getting you there, then try something else. You see.
Well, for example, a toilet paper is 360 degrees.
So is a sine and cosine wave.
Okay, now, but when you put a specific degrees, like, for example, I'm trying to pull a sine wave off of 39 degrees.
Okay, so in the toilet paper roll, your radius would be based on the tangent of that exact percentage or degree within the toilet paper roll, and that's why it shifts and changes and it's different.
So it would be a smaller diameter.
Yes, it'd be a smaller toilet paper roll.
In terms of, not in terms of length.
No, the length is set. You'd cut the length of the toilet paper holder to the length between the two tangents. So if it was a 5-inch, if there was 5 inches between the tangents or the period of time, okay? Or if it was 2 minutes, you'd just cut it shorter. That wavelength will carry on beyond it and behind it. But you're interested
forever.
In is what's between the two tangents. Good.
Okay. So, for example, a sine wave of 90, is that going to be exactly half of a sine wave of 180 in terms of its...
Depends on the frequency, but yes.
You see, isn't the actual angle the frequency? For example, if I go 990x, isn't that degrees the frequency?
The tightness? No. Wait now. Go. You're not off, but you're not there either. Okay.
Okay.
Do you know a slinky?
Yes.
Okay. The diameter of a slinky is?
Yes.
And if you stretch it all the way across your house, it's still a slinky, but the distance of the peak and trough of those waves going up and down would get smaller, would they not?
Yes.
That's what you're talking about. It's how far you stretch it out or put it together. And then that repetition, you can calculate. It's no problem. You'll calculate it. But the stretching it out, you see, that's where you're getting, that's what you call your period, or how tight or loose the wave is. And then the tighter the wave, the taller the peak and trough. No. Yes. And then, it's just the opposite. The looser the wave, the taller the peak and trough. And the tighter the wave, the smaller the peak and trough. So your smaller peak and trough, of course, would have less intersection points. The tighter the slinky squoze together, the more times that you're going to have the intersection points.
Uh-huh.
You're counting how many ringlets of the slinky is stretched tighter or lower within the period or the two tangents that you're working with.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So,
and that's
divisor,
what's divided by.
Like, for example, if I go 5 sine 5x is going to be 5 high, and it's going to oscillate at 5 degrees of oscillation, or whatever that would be.
Mm-hmm. If you put
Now, do I, when I draw out these sine waves, do I have to take, in terms of their height, do I have to take anything from the actual, from the triangle or anything, incorporate that into
no.
their height?
No, not at all. See, it's independent. All you're doing is you are putting or justifying a circular wave on a flat plane. That's all.
Okay.
And so you're right. It would have nothing to do with it. Now, once you get them all plotted, then you come back and look and go, okay, Ion, I have 3 points that intersect on A. I have 3 points that intersect inside my original triangle. And you go, okay, the first one times the second one times the third one is a great big number. Then you divide that by the total number of peak and trough intersections between the two tangents, okay? And then that becomes your A value. And then you do the same thing for B, and then it's A over B, remember? Then
yes.
You either divide that by or take the Maybank rate and divide it into or by your A over B. And that should give you a plottable value of A2. But you don't know where to plot A2 yet until you do C to see if your X has raised or lowered or remained the same. And let's just say for ease it stayed the same. And your value for A2 is plotted, and it's different than your original A value. That'll tell you the exact new price of your first pair in position to your that same pair as A2.
Mm-hmm.
So if it goes up 5 pips or down 5 pips, that tells you your future price.
Okay, so how right now my triangle is C, the number of C wide. So, like, my number for C is 1.298.
Say that again. The value of C wide.
The value of C is determining how wide my triangle is in terms of how far right it goes on the x-axis.
Well, that is the case, but that makes no difference. The significance of C is that predicated set angle that you're right justifying everything to, because it doesn't
okay,
change.
Okay, so at this point when I'm trying to figure out how many intersection points are between my tangents,
yes.
How do I know how to justify the tangents on my graph paper compared to the waves when I plot when I get assigned.
That's when the hula hoop miserable metaphor kicks in. A sine or cosine wave. That proper mechanics, and that'll clean up the frequency issue, which is your own.
Well, when you say frequency, right now, all I have. Yes, how often? Well, right now it repeats infinitely, but it's the scale in which it repeats versus the scale in which my triangle's laid out.
Well, now, yes, it repeats infinitely, but you're wanting to plot only the position between the two tangents.
Oh, yeah.
And yes, it would be an infinite repetition because it's a wavelength, certainly.
Yeah.
This is old school, back in the day when people are trying to figure out water coming out of a water hose, okay? Mm-hmm. You have water, and you turn the water hose on wide open, and the water will just sort of squirt out, and then it'll fall over at an arc, correct?
Yeah.
Now, you can understand that. Less water, it just sort of trickles out. A big force of water, it shoots out a little bit, but it makes a wave, an arc. Now, take the very same knowing that you played with a water hose and apply that to a pipe organ. You hit C on a pipe organ, it doesn't come out like a water hose. It flies from a frequency. That frequency then goes directly forever until it bounces off something. Then it's a brand new tangent. And that sound, like you've been into some of the great big cathedrals, and you can go up into the upper levels, and somebody can be down like in the down close to the altar whispering to someone, and the way those waves bounce, you can hear every word they say. It's amazing. Just because the new tangent puts you in a closer proximity, and they may be 200 feet away, but you can hear them in a whisper. Okay? That's the magic of wavelengths. Because when they bounce, that's off of another tangent. And where you are in perspective of that tangent puts you close or far away regarding the resonance of that frequency that you're considering. And it's very interesting because that'll give you a little bird's eye view of the difference of trying to take a wavelength and plot it on a floor, okay? It really doesn't work that way, but you can plot that frequency with the information to get it from a linear perspective.
See, once I have the angles, once I've plotted the triangle out and I've got the angles, all I'm really focused on is the relationship of everything, like of everything to the angles. I don't really need the prices anymore.
No, not at all. That's exactly correct. That was just what you're considering for triangulation.
Okay.
Price won't
come up again until
you justify the value of A2. Then you compare it to your original A.
Okay, so for example, my whole triangle at this point is 10 spaces wide. So I can fit my tangent at 7, and then it's a nice 7 days out, okay?
Okay,
so
what was your value of C?
My value of C was 1.29858.
So you changed the ratio to move it out 10 points.
I just plotted it on, I guess I changed, I just made sure that it was plotted over 10 squares.
No, Nelson, no, baby. No. No, see, if you just didn't discriminately move C, if you move the decimal point of the value of C, and it's 1.8, then you'd have to go over 18.
Oh, I haven't touched the decimal point.
Great. Well, then you can't move it over. You can't plot C just indiscriminately over 10 either. unless you move A up 10 and B up 10.
Well, see, okay,
see,
so
whatever you do, you got to do it to all of them because you'll change the angle.
Oh, the angles haven't, like, my angles are the same. I've basically
not if
made
you
sure
just indiscriminately plot C at 10 spaces over when your value of C was 1.8.
Oh, my value of C is 1.29. But
okay, then you're then you should be that 1.29. Then it should be at one block over, and then a 0.2, and then a 9. So about 1 1/3. So it should be one
okay
block, and then about a third. Now, we say you can shift that over, but ever how much you shift it over, you got to do that to A and B. Otherwise, your ratio, no wonder. There you go. That's where you cross.
Well, for example, okay, so right now, the farthest the triangle goes to the right on the piece of paper is 1.29858. Okay.
Okay.
And when I plot the wave using the equation sine times 39 degrees x, okay, that's the equation I'm using. The first time it intersects below its x-axis is at where is it here? Is at 5.7611. And
well,
negative
exactly,
7,
because
0, 7,
and we know because here's what's here we go. Okay, let's say let's just here we go. Here's where you're so close you can taste it. Okay, let's do this with no decimals. All right.
Okay.
Now you can do this. You can do this. All right.
Okay.
Give me your value of your pair of A.
1.60049.
Okay, make 1.60049. Make that a whole number.
Okay, so 16.
No,
or
no decimal.
Bigger.
Make it all
no
a whole number.
Oh, okay.
Got it.
All right, so 160,049.
No, that's right. That's a whole number. All right?
Okay.
Okay, now, and then you go up, you have your X and your Y, and go up that many blocks, that many squares, and go dot.
Okay.
All right. Now, you do. What's your value of B?
1.0020.
Okay, so you make that a whole number, and you go up that many dots, that many spaces, and go dot.
Even though it has one less decimal point,
well,
like it's only
going to
be 10,000.
Well, but you need, you know, your value.
I need
needs
to keep that the same.
Yes, that's correct. Your point. That's your ratio. That's correct.
Okay. So, all right. So if I drop, so could I then maybe for so the first one, because I don't have another digit to that. Each one has. The smallest amount of decimals is 4, so I'll do the first one could be 16,004.9. Is that okay?
Fine. That's fine.
Okay.
Because you can work with that, but we didn't want to get you all crisscrossed on the decimals, you see? So,
yeah.
So you can, wait a second. Hold on. Just easy. No. We're trying to get you somewhere. You have more decimal points of your A than you do of your B. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And you have 5 decimal points on your A?
Yes.
Okay. And how many decimal points do you have of your B?
4.
Then add a 0 to it and make it 5 as well.
Okay. That's what I'll do.
That's easier, because otherwise you're going to get screwed on your 0.9 when you start pulling sine, cosine waves, only because you're having issue with it already, okay?
Yes.
But now, Nelson, once you get to playing with this, you'll know that won't matter, okay? But it does right now because you try to make it work. So once it works, then you can go, well, this is what it is in a perfect world. Therefore, then you can adjust accordingly. So now you've now plotted this is great big number up here on A and this great big number on B. Okay? Now your value of C is
1.00200.
So that's the same number of digits as A, placeholders
yes,
as A.
That's what I'll do. I'll add a zero.
Okay. So then you go on your x-axis and you go to the right that many blocks.
Okay.
And you go dot. And you're saying ion, that's ridiculous, but it's okay.
You go, that is plotted on the y-axis, B.
No, it is not. It's plotted on the x-axis. B is on the y. C is on the x.
Yes, okay. I'm just making sure.
Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry, I misunderstood you. I was hearing C and you said B, so you're right. So A and B are on your original y-axis. C is on your original x-axis. Now you have a great big triangle, per se.
Okay. So now you have
what, 12,000 blocks to work with?
Yes.
Okay.
Distance is more than going to encompass many intersection points.
Well, there you go, and that's where you were off, baby. You were misconstruing your ratio, because the wavelength wouldn't change. You didn't have your perspective in a place that could encompass the frequency. So the misnomer,
exactly. Okay.
The misnomer was not in your trigonometry, because you got that right. The misnomer was how you applied it within the aspect or ratio of your actual plottable plane geometry triangle. Okay, now let's clean this up. If you have 12,000 blocks to the right where your C plots, then here's how you do that. You can very easily make 10,000 in each 1,000 equal a day, okay?
Okay.
And then you can draw your A2, B2 tangent at the 10,000 mark, and 10,000 clicks, marks, equals 10 days. No problem. And then you'd have, 2,000, which would be, that would be the distance between your C and C2 and your A2, B2 triangle.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So it still works. Now you'll have room, by God, you'll have room to find some ups and downs there, won't you?
Yes. Now, this same approach works if I wanted to make the 1.60049 into 160.049.
Yes,
as long
it
as
does.
I do the rest to B.
That's
okay,
correct.
Great.
But now, see, here's where it gets tricky. That you can get real smart, okay, and plotting a 0.049 something 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 outside of a dot, no problem, okay. But you've got to be very very careful, because if you shift a degree a bit and you're not exactly precise, you will then affect your sine, cosine, wave of that angle. Because remember, you got to write justified. So if you don't get that perfect, then your angle degree is going to be off. Well, then your sine's going to be off. Well, then your cosine's going to be off. And then you're going to be off by 12 pips when you get through.
Okay. So am I better off calculating my angles off of the actual prices or the prices post decimal move?
Well, but see, you're not trading. You've got to trade post decimal move, because if it's a dollar, 1.0006, and then your final price or 10 days ago price is 1.0010, that's huge as far as a executed trade, right?
Yes. Right.
So you got to get it in, and you got to get your aspect and ratio precise. So if you need it to the thousandth decimal point for it to make a day, to make your day, okay, fine. But because of the way you're doing it, but see, if you were doing Dow Jones, of course it would be very different, because it's typically more whole numbers.
Well, that's what I was thinking of, JW doing the DAO. Well, the DAO would naturally encompass many different, many intersection points.
Yes. And then it gets just creepy easy.
So what do you triangulate the DAO with? What would you triangulate that with?
The CAC and the FTSE.
Okay, so two other indexes.
Yeah, they're fine.
Okay. Oh, cool.
And then you'd use the Hang Seng, because they're a day before, as your divisor or your Maybank rate.
All right.
See, because your Asian markets, they're already a day over you.
Yeah, exactly.
See?
Well, so I can work on this now, doing it that way.
Yes.
Because now
that,
when I overlay
way,
my wave,
all you've done is you've cross-checked your ratio. That's right. And it wasn't your trigonometry. Nelson, you were spot on. You got it. You were doing it exactly spot on, where your ratio is what was off. And it sounds silly. Because we say it, and you're right, you heard it, you've got it recorded, you've re-listened to it. But, see, the ratio must be very, very, very exact, because you want your price, you want your A2 price to be very, very, very exact. He triangulated gasoline back when it was going. They said $5 a gallon and this, that, and the other. And it was very quickly he realized that gas was going down 53 cents a gallon by summer. Wait a minute. Summer, price goes up. They do summer blend because of the EPA emissions. No, that can't be. Well, he knew it was going down exactly 53 cents a gallon. It's almost there, and it's almost height of summer.
Wow. Yeah, it's fantastically
now,
accurate.
You start pulling that against a couple of barrels, and the numbers get crazy.
I've also got another question.
Of course.
That has to do with technical analysis and trading via the charts. Is there any way to accurately pinpoint the high and low of the day, intraday, using technical analysis and using the chart?
Yes, absolutely. Do it exactly like you're doing it now, okay?
Yeah.
And then pull tangents, pull more tangents in between.
Okay.
So
apply
go,
the formula.
Yeah, because see, if you pull the tangent, let's say you do it, you do your, okay, let's do exactly what you've done here, okay? You did 10 days. Right?
Yeah.
Make each day an hour.
Okay.
Works exactly.
And verify what I'm doing now.
Yeah. Because then you begin. See, don't. Yeah, that's right. Don't get too big for your britches. But you're right. You can do a long and a short intraday, and look like you won and lost simultaneously.
Uh huh.
Because you see, just like if you're playing with oil and you see it dropping, and it's at 120 a barrel, the big boys are buying it at 117 for their ratio discount, knowing that it was going to 93, and then bought it long at 102. That all happened within one day.
Well, yeah, exactly. Like right now, I focus on trading at the high, at the perceived high of day and the perceived low of day. So when I try and pinpoint the low of day, and I try and use just the way in which the market's reacting to that level. Like, for example, on the pound yesterday, they made a new lower low, but then they held price right at the low of day, and then they pulled right off of it. And I guess that the best way to do it is just to utilize the formula to back up any trade.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Is that how gold went up to $15.39.20 and platinum dropped $12 to $18?
I guess so.
Because we've triangulated, he knows that very soon gold and platinum are going to become the same price.
Uh-huh.
And that's very significant. Now, he doesn't care if gold goes down and platinum goes down to meet it, or if gold goes up and platinum comes down to meet it. He doesn't care. He knows, JW, knows that the moment that gold and platinum are the same price, covering and excluding any commission, which will be minimal,
yep,
to convert the gold to platinum.
Uh-huh.
And so stages and preparations are certainly made.
Wow, that's very interesting.
It's more than you know interesting.
So
see, and then if you could do that, then you would know. And that's,
yeah,
the,
well, if I could know what the low of the day is or high of day and confirm my trades, I mean, that's
well, that's done through your that's done through your trigonometry or the plotting of your sine and cosine waves. As you see,
yeah,
them, if you see a gregarious drop in your frequency of repetition, if your peak and trough drops below X, by God, you better be looking, you say.
The peak and the trough drop below.
No, I'm sorry. The trough. It'd be a huge wave, you see. And if it starts dropping,
right,
especially if your intersection point is below the triangle, you might better make sure you're not talking about Swiss francs or lira.
Well, when you say the intersection points get below the triangle, that would mean that they're quite a large wave.
Right.
Okay. So when I draw this out, my waves are oscillating around the two lines that form the box.
Yes.
Like
that's right.
The waves pulled off of B are oscillating around that horizontal line going from B.
Yes,
to
but now you're end. That angle that you're pulling from your set point is going to have a much more perfect plottable position because your ratio, your aspect has been made clearer. You know high-def TVs? You know that.
Yes.
Okay, you get a widescreen movie, and it's ridiculous because you have this big block at the top and the big block at the bottom that you can't see. So you can zoom, well, then you're cutting off the picture. Or you can wide zoom, and it sort of justifies the ratio of where you're watching to fit what you're working with. That's what we're talking about here, that you very precisely set the aspect or ratio so that every aspect is inclusive, so you can see every aspect of what of the 1080p, we hope it's 1080p,
yes,
projection that you're working with.
Yes.
That's what your computer screens are supposed to do. If it only showed you the top half of your computer screen within an intraday trade, that wouldn't help you much, would it?
No, wouldn't.
If the red line dropped below your screen, you'd get nervous, but you wouldn't know where to trade. You see? Well, that's sort of what you're doing on this flat piece of paper. Is you're without your ratio or aspect being precise, it's just exactly like you're saying. My first intersection point is on the right side of my second tangent.
Yes.
Good. And so it would still work, but you'd have to correct. It'd have to catch your ratio differential.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yes, I'm saying the same thing. It's just my problem is the plot. Yes, okay, I see what you're saying.
I've got to
adjust my TV to be able to view an image that is the size of the waves.
Exactly, because when you do that, every pixel will be included in the viewable picture that you're gauging.
Yes.
Now,
right,
that's good.
Cool.
There you go. Now you're getting somewhere, big boy.
Well, then all I have to do is just plot the intersection points and then see if they land inside the triangle.
And if your ass is not sore when you figure this out to suit you, from you kicking yourself in the ass for making this so damn hard, we will be very surprised.
Okay.
Because you're kind of like, great day, I got this in the first session. and I played with it, and I worked, and I did this, and I did that. And it becomes just so, well, some would say a few, and we've actually kind of cut this out because the board, we aren't judged by a board, okay? But the board decided enough because it was going to mess up Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Mm-hmm.
So, whosoever will was engaged, and those that did may. You can do this from now on, okay? But no new ones, according to them. And we honor that. I mean, it's perfectly all right. Because, you know, if everybody hit every price every day, they'd close the Forex in an hour.
Well, yeah, it wouldn't be much good to anybody.
Exactly. And then you start applying vibration to every other thing. You see, it's going to help the economy, but once everybody has 17 Maybach Land O'Lays, you won't be able to buy an oil filter for the damn things. If everybody has 17 Maybach Land O'Lays, right?
It's so
see,
funny
you
that
just
you
screw
picked
it.
That car.
Sorry?
It's funny that you picked that car.
Any reason?
It's awesome, that thing. No,
it's,
I'm just, I mean, damn expensive sedan.
It's suave.
Yeah, it's very nice.
The only way to fly, even when you have your own little scented cartridge that they make for you to pop in when you get in so that it has the aroma that you prefer.
That's funny.
It's ridiculous. But see, human creators that know how that know which end of the candle is up wouldn't have any less.
No, that's true.
It seems ridiculous.
Is,
it seems ridiculous, but SJW,
oh, no,
it's the only
ridiculous.
Way to fly. It's the only
it's
way to fly.
It's ridiculously right. It's ridiculously
yeah.
right. Yeah,
exactly.
No, that's what I mean by that. Yeah,
exactly.
I don't think it's ridiculously unneeded. It would be great.
Of course. Of course. And see, and once we, so there you go. Okay, now. So now you got your ratio position. And see, because you're doing, you'll finally get this down, and you'll do it in your computer, and it won't be so gregariously weird, like having a graph that has a ratio of that many dots. Okay? But it's
yeah.
a little bit necessary right here, right now. Okay. On purpose, because you got to get yourself in a position where you get it to make sure. It's kind of like reading. It's like, how do you know whoever wrote the reading right? Well, if you
mm-hmm.
know that aspect and ratio is exact and precise, then anything that shifts from that, you can shift it and adjust it yourself because you know that it's correct. That's why we push against, well, we don't push against anything, but we say all this technology that you're using to make this, put in the formula, Ion, give me the formula. We did. Blah, 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 blah. And then they get hung up in radians or degrees, or they get it all tangled up, and the looky box is doing what you tell it to do, but until you know to be able to show your work, Nelson, that teacher, when they told you to show your work, they didn't care that you knew how to do it, but they knew if you could show your work, you weren't getting it somewhere else, and it wasn't yours.
Yes.
That's what we're doing. That's why this white drawing board is important, because, but once you get that, then it's no problem, you see. You can make change in your head, can't you?
Yes.
But until you can, then you need to take the money and count it back and run it up, and that way then you can know.
So what you said earlier, basically you're not, I'm one of the few people who are ever going to really know this.
Well, that's not our business. You can ask Bob that.
Oh, okay.
Because we don't tell tales at all. We're just acknowledging that it's been decided, and we so far are capitulating with that it was their desire to limit the interaction so it didn't mess up everybody's play.
Yeah, that totally makes sense.
Yeah. Now, if that were known, of course, many would be offended. Well, who are you to say who gets it and who don't? Well, JW would say, the one that decided how it goes would be who decides, you see. We're not that way. We love everybody. We'll play with anybody. It made no difference to us.
Yeah.
We're jiggy with it. But we absolutely get their desire for making it where it's the fastest path to everybody's joy. So we concur. And so we're tickled that you are one of those as well.
Well,
but then again, they've told you you were kind of a lead all along, haven't they?
Yeah, they have.
So no surprise that you'd fit into that requiem, is it?
I guess, no, it isn't.
Oh, hell, don't be bashful now. Come on.
No.
See?
I think Bob and I originally talked about this kind of stuff, 6 years ago or something, 5 years ago.
Of course.
Just, yeah.
Well, makes no difference how you want to call it or what you want to say, but some people's sperm at the sperm bank brings a bigger price than other people's sperm at the sperm bank, and it's just sperm.
Yeah, exactly.
Still just, it's just DNA, and yet some fetch a handsome price and others have to pay to spill it.
Yeah.
That's fun. Very good. Okay, anything else?
No, that's it. I think we've gone an hour and a little bit, but I don't know how long it's been. Bob, do we have any time left? Or Ion, do we have any time left?
We don't do time, darling. We just
oh, okay.
Bump in charge. We
no, one more short thing, but that's about it.
Oh,
of
okay.
course.
What did you mean by Bob? Bob and I were talking about the different names you were saying at the end of the session in regards to me, and I wanted to know what you meant by why did Ichabod Crane come up?
Ah, okay. You're familiar with the story.
Yes.
You are familiar with the outcome.
What's the outcome?
Well, how did the story end?
I'm familiar that it's the Sleepy Hollow. I have to look it up again.
It's the segregation between the ultimate power and the ultimate authority.
Oh, okay.
And once you get power, you don't have to be headless to get the picture.
Okay.
But if you don't, headless will serve you well, because then you're never minding.
All right.
Headless never minds, correct?
Yeah, correct. That's funny.
It is very fun. And it gives you a new place, a new fun way to sort of play with it. But look at that story again, and some of the details about it.
I will.
Ask about Rockefeller and all the other names.
Oh, yeah. What about, let me pull out the list. What about the Rockefeller reference?
Well, same story.
I've got them here. I forget there was Sheikh Mohammed Bashar. Was it Bashar or Bashir?
Bashir, yes.
Bashir.
That was specifically the ruling of a kingdom and how to make the kingdom appropriate.
Okay, and then Prince Zar.
How to rule.
Cassian?
How to rule.
How to rule. Who's Nathan Tattersley?
Oh. That's very, very British. The Tattersleys. They are head. They used to be head at Barclays, and now they have moved to the Bank of England. HSBC.
Oh, okay. Banking stuff. Aaron Harris?
Oh, works at Royal Bank of Canada.
Okay, interesting. I know we've got a guy who works at BMO called, with the last name Harris. I was wondering if it had anything to do with that, but I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
David Rockefeller, we said. Thomas Edison?
beat Tesla to the race of GE.
Okay. Who's Raymond T. Thole or Thule?
Fooled. He's the falling Shearson Lehman head.
Oh, Raymond Fooled.
F-U-L-D. Fooled.
F-U-L-D. And then we said Ichabod Crane. Okay, great. I went through them all.
But wait a minute. Why so many head of dynasties resonate with Nelson?
Mm-hmm. Well, it worked for the Carringtons too, Bob.
What worked?
Dynasty.
Right, so why does that resonate with Nelson?
Well, why? It's because it's where he is.
And he has to become headless?
Mm-mm. Well, metaphorically, if he'll get out of his damn mind, it'll certainly do him well. His mind is what's befuddling him.
And helping.
Well, maybe. It's certainly correcting aspect, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, as long, you know what, as long as stuff like that doesn't, as long as you don't become your own blockade, then I think it's okay.
Well, but see, but if you're not, right, but see, here, there's the trouble. Nelson, I could enjoy that forest much better if it wasn't for those fucking trees. Do you see? And if you're not real careful, people don't know what they like what they know.
Basically, what you're saying is you can't perceive if you are or aren't being your own.
You get lost in the translation, the words, the mortar, not the words of creation. See, thank you, Lord, for my belief. Now, Lord, help me with my unbelief. Well, shit, which way you want it, belief or non-belief? You see, as an aspect or ratio. See, am I God or do I serve God? We say, yes, you are God and you serve yourself. No. Now that's just too much. We go, then you haven't been listening to Jesus. That's what Yeshki told you. These things I've done on this earth and you'll do and greater things. So, you know, if you don't embrace that Jesus ascended, okay, then you're screwed. End of story. But if ascension is sure, you can do it right here, right now, in this world, in this place. What a mighty God you should serve.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We'd turn out a mass. We'd send the homily home. Is that the way to say it? So, very, very wonderful. Fabulous. Okay, anything else? We want you happy, fat, pleased, and delighted beyond your wildest machinations.
Well, no, nothing else. This week I'm just going to focus on I'm going to get through the whole thing this week.
Good.
Because all the intersections will match.
Yeah, if you dibble and shit long enough, you're going to get it on you. Get on with it. You got it.
And then
you got it.
When I get to, once I plot my intersection points, I look and I see the intersection points in between the two tangents. And now, do I multiply and divide the total of intersection points between the tangents, not just the ones in the triangle? Correct?
Correct. You count them. That's right, the top and the bottom.
And when I multiply them, I times the x by y. I times the coordinates all together, correct?
Yes.
I go x times y times x times y times x times y, and then I divide them by the total number of intersection points between the two tangents.
Do.
And then the results are displayed a over b.
Correct.
And then I take the a and divide it by the b.
Correct. Unless it's inverted, and then unless it's inverted, if your B plots above your A, which can happen, then of course you invert that. It's B over A. You got that.
Okay. And then take that amount, take my the answer of that, I take that and divide it. I take it and put the Maybank rate on top of it if it's positive, put the Maybank rate below it if it's negative.
Very good. So you divide it by or make it divisible into. That's correct.
Okay. And then when I do this, now I've got that number. Then I take sine to the negative 1 times C and cos to the negative 1 times C, the angle of C. And I look at the intersection points to the left of C. And the land between the two tangents. And I draw a horizontal line through the intersection points that land in the triangle.
The most.
The most. Okay, so that's, I'm looking for a horizontal
line. And if they're
line.
Equal, right. And let's say the peaks and the trough of the minus sine cosine of C is equal.
Yeah.
If it's equal, then you divide the space between the two and make it exact,
okay.
And that's your X.
Now, when I do those waves, the center of those waves is the x-axis, the original x-axis. Like, those waves are oscillating around the x-axis.
Yes, right. But that's no. Yes, but you have to look at how it is, because it doesn't necessarily always work that way. You can have a bit of an aberration that would actually move it, even if they were... The size of your triangle has a lot to do with that. It could actually bump X up one just by virtue of your triangle.
Okay, yeah, because when I make my triangle that much larger, the sine waves...
You've got a lot more room. You've got a lot more room to be precise
tall.
And a lot less room to fuck it up.
Yeah, but the sine waves are going to stay the same height. So how are they ever going to get, it depends how
because
low you, B is.
Of your, the shape of your triangle. That's the variable.
Mm-hmm. You see, as B comes down, as if B were a smaller number, my triangle would, the BC line would be closer to the X, x-axis, and then
great.
My
what
wave...
If, well, wait a minute. What if your B is a minus number?
Well, then almost, then every intersection point would be in the triangle.
Potentially.
Well,
potentially. And that still wouldn't necessarily make C stay on X.
No, exactly. But, for example, right now, the way in which I'm calculating the waves, they pretty much have a determined height of, like, 0.07 or 0.7071. Now, I still don't know if I'm using the right equations to calculate the waves, because the height always stays the same. The height of the intersection points seem to always stay the
right.
Same.
Right. That's exactly right. Very good. Wonderful.
And why is that okay? Like, all
well,
of my
the
intersection
answer,
points
so
have a height.
Be okay.
Okay, because all of my intersection points have a height of 0.7071.
That's not always the case.
Yeah, I know, but why the hell?
Then look, you can get edumacated on, that's just plotting a sine cosine wave. See, you can calculate that off. Remember your 1 pi, 2 pi, 3 pi?
Based on the degrees that...
Yes, very good. Not radians, because radians would make it always be the same, but that would be, that would work only if you were trying to triangulate horseshoes or hand grenades. That would get you close. But you don't want close. You want a dead ringer.
Maybe the equation I should be using is 30 sine X, like the degrees then sine X.
Play with
it. What's the equation that I should be using?
Nope. You play with it. It's your creation. Otherwise, you could just say, I input some money checks in my account, and I'll thank you for
you know, I knew you were going to say something like that. You totally couldn't just that. It's not the same thing.
It's not. It wouldn't be your creation. It'd be our creation. And we don't care. We got no dog in this fight, Nelson. But at the end of the day, here's what would happen. Is I've come into my power, but I don't have as much power as Ion. And we go, oh, fuck. No, 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 no. See, baby, we want you in your power.
Mm-hmm.
If you get you in your power, then the heavens will start rejoicing.
You see, if I
very
go,
wonderful.
It changes if I do that. Like, if I plot the equation 30 sine X, the height changes.
Yes.
Okay, we got to stop. A couple points here. This Raymond Richard Fould, we had Raymond T. Thule, and then you changed it to Dick Fould, F-U-L-D. Why Raymond? His brother?
That was the shareholder.
Well, it's Raymond Richard.
Yes.
Why does he have the same, different name?
It's not different.
Richard S. Fould, former head of Lehman Brothers. But the name you gave us was Raymond Fooled.
We said Shearson Lehman.
Shearson Lehman?
Yeah.
Well, let's check that. You're saying there's another Fooled?
Yes.
There is no Raymond Fooled, just Richard Fooled.
Well, then there
come
is.
Come on, no. So you say, is Raymond Fooled any relation to Richard Fooled, F-U-L-D?
Yeah.
What are they,
yeah.
Brothers?
Didn't say.
You didn't say?
Correct.
Do you know if he has any brothers?
No. Yes, we know.
Okay.
No, he
okay.
doesn't.
Okay, so Richard Fooled and Raymond Fooled are brothers, but you don't know that they're brothers.
We didn't say they were brothers.
Well, we're trying to get something said here.
Well,
Richard
you're not
Fooled,
getting that.
No, it's Richard Fooled, Raymond Fooled. Same person. Are they the same person? No.
They can be. Yes.
Why?
They can be. Why?
How can they?
Why?
Are you talking about other worlds?
No.
Other selves?
No.
So he uses different names, Raymond Fooled and Richard Fooled? He does different economic transactions with a different name?
Well, he doesn't do shit now, but...
yeah, he's gone.
He did.
He was nicknamed the Gorilla. So the guy who was nicknamed the Gorilla also had the name Raymond Fooled?
You have to look at the shares. You have to look at the shares.
Okay, so Richard Raymond Fooled. So then... How did you spell Sheikh Bashir? B-A-S-H-A-R or what?
I-R.
B-A-S-H-I-R. What country is he in?
Arabia.
You mean Saudi Arabia?
Didn't say Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, you're just saying Arabia, which is many countries?
Do.
Yeah, Bashir is B-A-S-H-I-R. I-R, right?
Do.
Okay. Let's see, there's a whole bunch of names are piled up here, but those are Nelson's, so I guess that's it. Okay.
Therefore, we are totally, deliciously, happily, and completely Robert Bob Cratchit.